Thank you for tuning into Fire Shut Up My Bones. Here's a question that has run across our minds many times. Why is it so hard to go to church? You know, some churches, they don't have church service at night. We definitely fight to go to church. I know when I was growing up as a child, when my family went out on vacation, we always looked for a church to attend. Sad to say, I'm a grown man now with a family of four, or about to be three. I have to call ahead of time to make sure church has their services on the appointed time, especially during the Christmas season or the Resurrection Sundays. Churches are not having Sunday night services. So I'm out of town. I tried to attend an independent fundamental Baptist church, and to no avail, they're closed. What a shame that is. I always try to fight to go to church, always, because I'm supposed to be there. But has the question ever come across your mind? Why is it so hard to go to church? You go to church with your wife and family. You bring your Bible. You're ready to hear the word of God. And it's hard to go to church because you have all these types of pressures. People trying to tell you to do this, do that. Or they insult you in front of your wife and children in church. They'll tease your height. They'll tease the way you talk. They'll tease the way you laugh. And then you're wondering, what in the world is going on? Right? Let's answer a few of these. And before we begin, we're going to pray first. The answer to this type of question, there are many, actually. There are so many facets to this question. Why is it so hard to go to church? And let's get into this. All right. So first of all, let me read this first verse. Church attendance is important. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as so much the more as ye see the day approaching." We need to be in church. If you look towards the end of the book of John, you would see that Jesus met with his disciples after he rose from the dead on the eighth day of the week. What's that? Sunday. You might say, man, it shouldn't be hard to go to church. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. You're right. You're 100% right. I do not disagree with that. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." Did I pray? Lord, please help us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Romans 12, 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice." We are to sacrifice our time for the Lord. Okay? That is our job after salvation, or one of our jobs after salvation. We need to be used by God. We need to get the gospel out. "That ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." What does that mean? Well, Jesus Christ paid for your sins on the cross with his life, rose again on the third day. So it's reasonable to serve him. No excuses about, oh, I don't feel like going to church today. I need to go to the beach. I have a birthday party to attend. I have a jiu-jitsu tournament on a Sunday. I have a baseball game on a Sunday. I have a wrestling match on a Sunday. I have a judo tournament on Sunday. I need to go out of town on a Sunday. You know, you shouldn't be missing church for those types of reasons. You know, if you have a loved one in the hospital dying, and you need to minister to them, or you're in the medical profession, or you're a fireman, you're saving lives. Okay, I understand that. That's a very important thing. Well, you are doing a very noble thing, and I believe you're doing it for the Lord. Okay, but we need to be in church. But one of the reasons why it's so hard to come to church, it's the flesh. Okay, we're battling the flesh. You know, the things you want to do, you do not, and the things that you're not supposed to do, you want to do. You know, it's a constant battle, as Paul described, but it's so hard. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray." Now, we need to pray that we go to church and serve the Lord and not skip. Okay? Like, Lord, help me to enjoy church. Sometimes I go to church and, man, sometimes people say some really stupid things to me. Lord, can I just want to get in, get something from you, talk to you, and get out. And Jesus, pray, amen. Are we praying that? You know, we need to. That's a sobering thought. I need to pray that more, because as of late, I go to church and it's like people tease me. They say I laugh like a girl and things like that. They don't want to mess with me during Sunday service in front of everybody. And you become almost an introvert coming to church because you're so afraid that someone will say something stupid to you. So we ought to pray, okay? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Now look at this now. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Hold on 1 second. The spirit is willing. Okay? You want to serve the Lord. You say, you know what? I'm going to pass up more tracks. I'm going to go door knocking. And when the time comes and is appointed for you to serve the Lord, you're too tired to do it. You know, we need to pray for strength. Pray to the Lord Jesus Christ for strength. Let me read that one more time. Is this thing recording? Okay. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You want to go to church. You want to serve the Lord. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay, so sometimes, you know, battling the flesh is like that. Another reason why church is hard, and again, we shouldn't think like this because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, but let's just be real here. Sometimes we go to church, and in our independent fundamental, and I'm going to hit it, in our independent fundamental Baptist movement, churches, we do certain things that make it hard for people to attend church, okay? I mentioned before, actually, let me get to this point and I'll mention it because it fits. It's hard due to a lack of edification. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. It says, look, that which is good to the use of edifying. Are we choosing our words wisely towards each other, or do we launch insulting remarks towards people? Okay, we have to think about these things. I know in the book of Proverbs it mentions how to choose the right words, it's like apples of gold. Let me see if I can find it. We have to control our tongue. We have to control our tongue. We can't just launch insulting remarks. My goodness, sometimes you come to church and you have to have your guard up because you're so nervous. People just say stupid things. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. You walk up to some guy and you say, your belly looks like a beach ball. Okay, well, that's not edifying, is it? That's insulting. Now you just discourage that person. Or you have a bald head. You're short. You sound like a girl when you laugh. All those types of things, those insulting things. Okay, those things are not edifying. All it does is it causes a person to box up in church and become an introvert in church. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, some people will say, man, if someone is quiet in church or something bothering them. Yeah, it could be us. I remember a wise person said this, Tom Fenwick. He shouted from the pulpit and he said, do we make church less enjoyable because of us? Or do you make it hard for people? I think he said, do you make it hard for people to come to church? And what he meant by that is that people come to church and instead of encouraging them, saying, hey, brother, it's good to see you. You know, you're a blessing to me. You're faithful to church. You have your Bible. You keep that up. The Bible says, draw an eye unto me and I'll draw an eye unto you. You keep that up, young man or young lady, whoever it is. No, as soon as you see them, they just launch insulting things. Oh, you know, just messing with you. We're just friends. I heard another wise man say this, Dr. Ron Fenwick. He said, you know, you can't mess with your friends for so long. It's going to bother them. Okay, so we have to, you know, you and I, we have to choose the right words of edification, just like it says in Ephesians 4:29. That which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, insulting someone about them being short is definitely not ministering grace unto that person. Okay, so that's one reason why it's hard to go to church. Okay, and again, there's a bunch of answers to this. You know, sometimes you have church staff that tolerates foolishness and stuff like that. You got people yelling at each other, you know, driving like idiots in the parking lot, about to run people over and stuff like that. But that's not what we're talking about here. Like I said, so much to say. The devil uses other Christians to mess with the brethren. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, the devil does it in very cunning ways, okay? I, for one, have no use for the world. The Bible says, love not the world, or keep unspotted from the world, as it says in James. What's the other stuff that it says? Friendship with the world is enmity with God, the Bible says. So I don't really have any use for the world. It's hard for me to yoke with the world. There's certain things that I gather from God's word that I apply to my life that's just not compatible with the world. That's why the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So when I go to work, I go to work, I come home, that's it. Or the only time I go back out into the world and I maintain my Christian principles is if I have to go to the gym and exercise and do my I have a lot of recreational activities that I enjoy. So I enjoy doing. So I interact with the world through the sports that I do and through my job. And people tell you, wow, Darian, you're different, you're nice, you just have this energy about you. And then God will, you know, provide an opportunity for the gospel to get out, and I'll just let God do his thing. Okay? But I have no use for the world. So the less you are in the world, the devil has to cunningly devise techniques to get you. And sometimes the devil will use other Christians to discourage you. That's why you have to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. When you start saying, man, I hate church, I really don't want to go to church, and you start saying, you know, Jesus, I know you're not like this, but why is it when I go to church, it's so hard to go to church? Why when I go there, people want me to do this, do that, go here, go to Bible college, go here and do this and that and the other? Why can't I just sit there, get something from the Lord, and go back out into the world and practice the commands that the Lord has given me? You know, sometimes the devil will launch discouragement through the brethren. And then sometimes they're just not aware of it. For all of us, beloved, me, anyone, we have to examine ourselves. Are we discouraging the brethren? Okay? Those are things you really have to think about and work about. I'll give you a good example. Okay, I'm not tooting my own horn, but it's a good practice. I know a good friend of mine who has a grandson, said that he's a physical therapist. Okay, now I paused as to what I was about to say, because what went through my mind immediately is that his grandson is extremely fat. Okay, and it was kind of shocking to me. He's going to be a physical therapist, and he's so big. You know, most of the times you yourself have to be fit in those programs. But I didn't say, he's fat and he's going to be a physical therapist. I paused, I thought about what I was going to say, and I replied, that's awesome. I wish I did that if I had the opportunity again to do it. Okay, so but why? Because I love my friend, and I don't want to insult him. I was examining the words that was going to come out of my mouth. Okay, I really wish that all of us will do that in church. Okay, by the way, if you have a person that comes to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and he's quiet, and you say, hey, hi, brother, how you doing? And he says hi back, and that's it. He doesn't want to engage in a conversation. You know, that man, he could be going through some problems in his life, yes, but sometimes he's just so content with the Lord and he's quiet that that's all he needs. Don't bug him. Leave him alone. Okay? All right, so Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Another reason why it's so hard to go to church, discouragement comes from adults. I've seen people leave church. And of course, there's no excuse for this because they let the devil win. But some people, they leave church because someone's spouse just kept messing with their kids. I've seen this on multiple occasions. Ephesians 6:4, and ye your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let me see here. There's another verse similar to that. I want to read that. I think it's so important. That will be in it. Okay. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, you know, I think a lot of adults, they discourage people's children. They don't want to go to church. When they hit 18 years old, they're like, well, praise the Lord, I get to leave church. I don't have to deal with those people anymore. Okay? We can't have that type of environment in church. We have to look for other people's kids to encourage them, not discourage them. Don't call them idiots. Don't tease them. Just leave them alone. If you can't say anything good to them, just don't say anything at all. Okay? So that's another reason why church can be hard. Also, we forget that faithfulness counts. You know, I don't understand why you see a man and his wife attending church with his kids and you just want to mess with them. You know, that should be an encouragement. Like, man, praise the Lord that these people are attending church. No, that's not enough. You want to, you know, you think he's called to preach. You want to force him to Bible college. You want to force him to every conference there is out there. And you get kind of tight coming to church. Just continue to encourage that person. Be glad that they're there. And that's it. Faithfulness does count. Look at Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." You know, some churches out there, not all, they want everyone to get a CDL, okay? They want everyone to be in the bus ministry. They want everyone to go door knocking, okay? And look, I'm not knocking those things. We're supposed to be fulfilling the Great Commission. That's very important. That's a command from the Lord. If we're not passing out tracts and trying to get the gospel out some way, some fashion, on a weekly or daily basis, then that's not good, okay? But not everyone is called to the bus ministry or door knocking. They're called. They better be from the Great Commission, but you know, don't force everyone to. And I'm going to mention it later on to be like us. Those types of things, it peer pressures people into thinking they're not serving the Lord. Thinking that they're not serving the Lord and they're worthless, they're good for nothing, and so on. So he's been in this thing forever, so he must really love the Lord. You know, those types of things make people uncomfortable in church. Let me tell you something, man. The only time someone should be feeling uncomfortable in church is when we preach from this book about people's sins and we give them a chance to get it right. I've been convicted in church. I said, man, that's me, God. I need to get that right. That's when we should be feeling uncomfortable in church. We shouldn't go to church to be pestered and bothered about silly things. Let's sing to the Lord. Let's open the Bible. Preach encouragement. Preach against people's sins and give them a chance to get it right on the pulpit. That's my type of environment right there. Okay? Now, let's move further on with this, right? Before I make this thing too long. All right. So why is it so hard to attend church? Let me read this thing for you, okay? Is it because people don't love the Lord? Sometimes that's a part of it. I've been attending church since I was a baby, and this is what I've observed, okay? Church attendance is hard because we force and peer pressure people too much into a ministry we want them to be in instead of encouraging people to just follow God. You see, if you're in the general will of God, God will show you what he wants you to do. Stop skipping church. Stop skipping your Bible reading. Stop skipping prayer, right? And fulfill the Great Commission. And then God will show you what he wants you to do, okay? Believe it or not, prayer to Jesus Christ, reading God's word, and church attendance is actually enough for the saint. Okay, this will fuel a Christian to desire to serve God and fulfill the Great Commission. The more fascinated a Christian becomes of God, the more he will serve. When we forget this, we try to force Christians to work on a bus route, go to every church conference in the world, and force them to go to Bible college. Why? We think this will help a Christian live right. Let me tell you something, man. I'm telling you, Don't put so much faith and confidence in those types of things aside from what the Bible can do. If you can encourage a Christian to be in his Bible day and night, every day, and pray to the Lord, you'll be surprised what God will do. A safe person has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Okay, so when they're in this book, I'm telling you, that person is going to change. You don't need to force that person to be like you, or I don't have to force a person to be like me. How come he's not passing out tracts in this neighborhood? Well, just be thankful that the man is passing out tracts. Okay, this will fuel a Christian to desire to serve God and fulfill the Great Commission. Okay, the more fascinated a Christian becomes of God, the more he will serve. Okay, I mean, I just know that because I've experienced it. When we forget this, we try to force Christians to work on a bus route, go to every church conference in the world, and force them to go to Bible college. Why? We think this will help a Christian live right. No, there's people that went to Bible college and came out living for the devil. That is wrong type of thinking, because living righteously comes directly from God, not from trying to turn people into us and force them into a ministry we call them to. We must stop attempting to mold people into us and exhort them to be just like Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1:16 says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Jesus is holy. Copy Jesus. Mimic Jesus. Working on a bus route, Sunday school, or showing up on a Thursday night and Saturday visitation does not make you spiritual. Okay? Abiding in Jesus Christ, makes you spiritual. That's what being spiritual is, a constant communication with the Lord. Okay, because why? The Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit. It's impossible for a person to worship God without having the Holy Spirit living inside of them. You say, when does the Holy Spirit start to live inside of them? As soon as they get saved. So once that person is saved, then they can worship the Lord. And they have to do it on a constant daily basis. If they're not in their Bible, if not in prayer, if they're not attending church service, then trying to get spiritual righteousness from the bus route, Sunday school, showing up on Thursday nights and Saturday night visitation alone doesn't work. Abiding in Jesus Christ makes you spiritual. If a person does not have a personal walk with God, then working a bus route, Bible college, and getting involved in a church is a waste of time. You got to get your power from the Word of God. Okay, I grew up in church, and I've seen the most involved Christian in church lose their family. I've seen divorces, sons become homosexuals from the most involved people in church. I've had a person, and this is a preacher telling me this, that he wished he spent more time with his family in the Bible. He told me that. Okay, he told my wife and I that. Okay, and sadly, it cost him. Okay, let's learn from that, guys. I'm not putting anybody down. We have to learn from that. You know, a lot of people will say this too. But by the way, what's intimate time? If I say I'm spending time with my children by watching the Green Hornet, oh, this is family time. Okay, but I'm not talking to them. I'm not really playing with them. Okay. If you go out soul winning, a visitation, and you take your kids with you, afterwards you got to take them to the park or something. Interact with them, because your focus is on one thing. Then you have to divert your attention. It's a balance. With the Lord's help, this you don't have to lose your family. So you know, people are afraid to serve because they might lose their family. That doesn't have to be. You could serve God and still minister to your family. It's a balance. You have to ask God for his help, and God will help you. I know men. I mentioned a few names. Mr. Steve Campbell, fine three sons. One of them started a ministry called the Known Ministry. But hey, sometimes on Thursday nights, he took his sons to football games to go watch them to watch them play. Some Christians are like, "Oh, I can't believe you did that." Well, okay. Well, their sons. One of them is preaching. One of them is going to Bible college. They're fine sons. Okay. Let's see why. Because they. Yeah, let's finish my thought. I've seen the most involved Christians in church just lose their family. Why? Because they plugged into a work source and not Jesus Christ. You hear it all the time. If you want to serve Jesus, if you want to live right, if you want to experience God, get involved. That's a part of it. Are you in your Bible? When was the last time you read your Bible? You know, I've had a decent young man tell me this. He's in his 20s, godly man. Every time I talk to him, he doesn't talk about weightlifting. He's always talking about preaching he heard from Dr. Ron Fenwick or what he got out of the Bible. But he told me this. He noticed that one pastor in his family, whom everyone praises, he spent time with them. They didn't read the Bible in the morning. Okay, but yet they're on a pedestal. And guess what? They say stupid things all the time. Mean things. Because they're not in the Word of God. How do you plug into Jesus Christ, right? All right, this is how you plug into Jesus Christ. By prayer to Jesus Christ, reading God's word, and church attendance. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Fruit without me, you can do nothing. Okay, I think it's working now. Okay, good. Without the Lord, you can do nothing. You want your bus route to be big? You want much people to come, plug into Jesus Christ. You have to get into your Bible, man. You want your family to be successful? Have family devotions. Plug into the Lord. God's the vine. We have to plug into Him, and we do it with the word that He gave us, the Bible. We need to read it. Okay? If you don't draw strength from God through prayer, Bible reading, and church attendance, serving in church will do you no good. If you want a Christian... So, you see what I just read there? Okay, that's another reason why church attendance is so hard. People are not reading their Bibles every day. That's important. Okay, you gotta be filling yourself with some spiritual food. And then church will be sweet. If you want a Christian to grow, encourage that person by saying, hey man, you hardly miss church and you're always in your Bible. Keep it up. Good. God is going to be real in your life. Allow that Christian to get a hold of God and spend time with his family in the Bible and recreational activities. Okay? Allow that Christian to get a hold of God and spend time with his family. You know, sometimes I think we have too many church activities. He said that. Yeah, I think so. I think sometimes there's too much church activities. All right? How much church do you need? And I remember, I witnessed this recently. One person attended a conference every single night. When the conference was done, the person missed church for a whole month. Okay? Come on now. And so what is it? Okay. Allow that Christian to get a hold of God and spend time with his family in the Bible and recreational activities. When we just force and peer pressure a brother into every ministry, they will disappear from church eventually, or spend time with their family and get burnt out, or not spend time with the family and get burnt out. This is why church attendance is hard, because we forget the most important thing, to seek in the Christian life, and that's seeking Jesus Christ. Let's read John 15:5 one more time. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You want success in life? Do you want church to be more enjoyable? Do you want the fruit of doing the Great Commission to be more joyous? Plug into Jesus Christ. For that me, you can do nothing. Raising your family in church is a blessing, but if you're relying just on that apart from the Bible, you say, who in the world does that? Who in the world will be so involved in church and neglect Jesus Christ? And it happens all the time. That's why we have bad attitudes. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If you don't draw strength from God, okay, yeah, without me, you can do nothing. In closing, why is church so hard? Because you and I, we neglect to watch what we say. We don't encourage people with the word of God. We peer pressure people too much. Just peer pressure them, if you will, into reading the Bible. Pray for them, encourage them, and God will take care of the rest.